stranger to First Baptist Church, but Dr. David Sorensen pastored for many years up in Duluth, Minnesota, and ministry that he still lives in that place, but he's now very busy out and about throughout the year in various churches and in conferences such as what we just had with our couples retreat. And I'm so glad that we have a friend and a Minnesotan, as I heard him even enunciate there yesterday when we were in our couples retreat. But we certainly are thankful for he and Mrs. Sorensen being with us here this morning. Let's listen carefully as Dr. Sorensen comes and preaches to us here this morning.
Well, amen. It's good to be back at First Baptist Church of Rosemont. Been friends for many years. Was a good friend with Dr. Ed Johnson. And in fact, he helped us in the starting of North Star Baptist Church in Duluth years ago. Duluth is a cold place. In fact, it's significantly colder than here and often in the Twin Cities. Dr. Ed used to say, up in Duluth, many are cold, but few are frozen. But we continue on. Let me just say a few things. I know you have your own book sale today. We have a book table there. It's going to be gone tonight. And there are things on that table that are not on the other table. And all Independent Baptist books. One book is our newest book entitled Winning People to Christ. And I think you'd find it very helpful in being more effective in witnessing and winning people to Christ. And then on the table back there is a complete set, a commentary of the Bible. As far as I know, it's the only complete set of an Independent Baptist commentary. Folks, this is what we believe. We are Baptists, and that is a Baptist commentary. It's based on the King James Bible. We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, a six-day literal creation, and it's there. You'll get it there cheaper than you'll get it anywhere else. If you go on Amazon tomorrow and try and order, it'll cost you $100 more plus shipping. It's on sale back there. And some of the well-known preachers in America use it on a regular basis, such as Dr. John Wilkerson down in First Baptist Church in Hammond. And preachers, missionaries, Sunday school teachers, Bible students all over the country use it as a Bible help. It's entitled Understanding the Bible, and it'll help you to understand the Word of God better. But anyway, it's there, and avail yourselves of it. We are able to accept credit cards, and it's also something, and we say this frequently, a good gift to give to someone who's in the ministry. Maybe you have a friend or a relative who's a pastor or a missionary, and it's a wonderful gift to give to them to help them in God's work. Well, this morning, take your Bible, please, and turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1, a familiar portion of God's Word, the preface to the great book of Psalms. David called the book of Psalms the treasury of David. Spurgeon called the Psalms the treasury of David. And Psalm 1 is the preface to the Psalms. Let's read these first six verses this morning. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, this morning as we come to your word and look at a familiar portion of your word, help us now, speak to us today, and I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Well, here in this short psalm are six verses, and I'm going to summarize those verses this morning in six key words. But before we go to that, back in Joshua chapter 1, God spoke to Joshua and said, "This book of the law, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." Now, Joshua was not a preacher. Joshua was a general, and later became the first, if you want to call him, president of Israel. And yet God said to him, "Joshua, meditate therein day and night." And he said, when you do, he said, you'll make your way prosperous. By the way, meditate therein day and night to the extent that you actually do all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make the way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Well, 400 years later, the Holy Spirit inspired David to make divinely inspired comments on Joshua 1. And you'll notice a similarity here, where in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And it goes on to say, the end of verse 3, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And folks, those promises in God's word have not been abrogated, though penned somewhere between 3 and 3.5 thousand years ago, they are still as true today as they were then. And so let's look at these six key words here this morning that I think summarize these six verses in Psalm 1. Notice verse 1 is the word separation. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, have you noticed that the book of Psalms begins with three negatives? People say, well, preacher, don't you think we ought to not spend so much time on the negative and accentuate the positive? Well, I think that's probably a good philosophy, but stop and think about this. For every positive, there's an equal and opposite negative. That's a law of physics. And if you don't believe that, when you leave today, go out and disconnect the negative battery cable on your car and see what happens. Nothing. It won't go. And separation actually is not a negative, folks. It's a great positive. In Deuteronomy, speaking of God's word, God said to Israel that it might be well with thee and with thy children after thee. And I don't intend to spend a lot of time on this morning, but the principle of separation. And we could summarize verse 1 in this way, and that is get out of the world. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, the influence, the philosophy of the world that's all about us. And then he says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, that word way in the original language has the idea of location or place or geography. Folks, there are places around here you ought not go. In junior church, we used to sing the song, "The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. The places I used to go, don't go there anymore." There's been a great change since I've been born again. And there are places where we ought not go. I don't have to draw you a picture. You pretty well know about them. They're going loud and full blast last night on Saturday night, I'll tell you that. If you come up to Duluth, and I know many folks here in the Twin Cities do, and you're traveling through the woods there as you get above Hinckley, and it's from there on north, it's just the northern woods, the northern forest. But as you are nearing the little intersection of Carlton, Minnesota, all of a sudden you see a 14-story building rising up, a casino. You won't see Dave Sorensen in that casino, folks. It certainly is the place of sinners. My favorite kind of a restaurant, my wife knows this, is, Brother Curry knows it too, is a buffet restaurant. We ate last night at a buffet restaurant. Well, the Black Bear Casino up there at Carlton, Minnesota, advertises itself as having the best buffet restaurant in the state of Minnesota. I don't know. I've never been in there. But we could go on and talk about the places out in the world. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We could pause here and get off on a tangent here today about how important it is to see that your children have a Christian education and that they sit not in the seat of the scornful, which often goes on in secular schools. But again, that is not where we're going in the main here today. But verse 1 is get out of the world. It's so simple. My father used to use a little illustration. I don't know if this is true. I don't know if he ever purported it to be true. My dad was a preacher, by the way. He preached for 50 years, and my grandfather before that was a preacher and preached for about 50 years. But Dad used to use this little story. And whether it's true or not, you'll get the drift. And that is, years ago, out on the west, in the western part of the United States, a stagecoach company was advertising for drivers. And a guy came into the office and said, I'd like to apply for the position. And the boss would sit down, and he took his information and interviewed him. And he said, by the way, let me ask you one question. As you drive the stagecoach around the cliff around the edge of the mountain, or the edge of the cliff as you go around the mountain, how close can you drive the stagecoach to the edge? The guy said, I'm a good driver. I believe I can drive that stagecoach, a team of horses, six or eight horses out in front. I believe I can drive that team of horses within 3 feet of the edge of the cliff. The boss said, thank you, I'll consider your application. Next guy comes in and asks the same question. How close to the edge of the cliff can you drive the stagecoach as you go around the mountain? He said, I'm a really good teamster. And by the way, that's where the word teamster came from, in driving a team of horses. He said, I'm a really good teamster. I can drive the rig within 18 inches of the edge of the cliff. The boss said, thank you, I'll consider your application. Third guy comes in and gets the same routine, the same question. And he said, I'd stay as far away from the edge of the cliff as I possibly could. He got the job. And folks, the fact is, we ought to stay as far away from the world as we possibly can. Amen. But let's go to verse 2 here this morning. Notice, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We can call the key word here scripture. Scripture. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Say, do you delight in God's word? I mean, we delight in a lot of things. I delighted in a good meal last night. We delight in clothing sometimes. We delight in if our sports team is winning. As usual, the Vikings have let us down this year. But we delight in things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But say, do you delight in the word of God? Do you delight in the law of the Lord? There is rarely a day, and it's a rare day, that I don't get up early and spend time in the Word each morning. And occasionally days come. Something goes wrong. Dr. Clearwater used to talk about an ox falling in the ditch. Pastor gets a call at 4:30 in the morning, and he said, please come to the hospital right now. And he run to the hospital to pray with someone who's in a crisis. And there have been days over the years when I didn't get in the Word first thing in the morning. And you all know what it feels like when you haven't eaten for a while. I had to go to the doctor's office this week, and before I came, I was supposed to fast. So I could take some blood tests, folks. By the time I got home at noon, my stomach was empty, and my stomach was growling. I felt empty. Well, you take a day as a Christian, and you're not in the Word, you're going to feel empty spiritually. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his day, in his law doth he meditate day and night. You say, preacher, does that mean that God wants me to spend all my time all day long and every waking hour studying the Bible? No. But I think at this minimum, it's begin the day and end the day with the Lord. Spend time with him. Years ago, I worked at WCTS, the Bible station, and I'm talking about almost, in fact, 50 years ago. Kind of ages me, doesn't it? But we would read the New Testament, well, first of all, the Old Testament, 3 chapters a day in the morning and 1 chapter a day in the evening. 365 days a year. And that's 4 chapters a day, and in reading 4 chapters a day, folks, we went through the Word of God in a year. Do you know how much time that took? In the morning, it was 15 minutes. In the evening, it was 5 minutes. 20 minutes a day, you'll go through the Word of God in a given year. And that's with a little time left over for the day that you're sick or the ox falls in the ditch or whatever. Time in the Word. Spending time with the Lord. And we need to discipline ourselves to be in God's Word. In our home, I discipline myself to get up at a given time each morning. And I have a specific place where I read each morning. And I have a specific goal in reading each day. And folks, I mean, this is Christianity 101. Spending time with a Savior each day. Spending time alone with Him in the Word and in prayer each morning. And I have watched Christians over the years. People get saved and some of them take off and just grow and grow and grow. And some of them take off. And then they shortly thereafter fizzle out. And almost always the reason is one got into the Word and the other didn't. And as I have had the occasion over the years to counsel people and their marriage is in trouble and they're heading for a divorce and they ask at the last minute, last gasp, one of them will seek counsel. And I always ask them one question. I know what the answer is, but I ask it anyway. I say, by the way, are you folks in the Word every day? And the answer always is no. Or I have the occasion to visit someone in the jail, someone remotely related to the church, usually not an active member, but someone on the periphery of the church, but claims to be a Christian, and so I'll go visit him and ask the same question. Again, I know the answer. Are you in the Word every day? No. Folks, we're touching here on something that is so vital in the Christian life. And so we could summarize verse 2 by saying, get into the Word. Now, if you don't remember anything else today, when you go home today, just remember two thoughts. Get out of the world and get into the Word. Isn't that simple? Amen. Spend time with the Lord each day. But notice verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Well, in God's flora, that is the plant kingdom, if I can use that term, there is nothing stronger than a tree. Trees are solid. Trees are strong. When we went to Duluth 31 years ago, I think the second year we were there, we bought a piece of land. Long story, I won't go into all the details. It's kind of interesting. We won't go into all of it. And but bought a piece of land. It had 6 acres, and it was mostly birch trees. And because of the topography and the geology of that piece of property, there's basically only one place we could put a house without doing a lot of blasting and that sort of thing. And but. We had to cut down, I had to cut down trees for the driveway, for the house site, for the septic system site, and I imagine I cut down about 200 trees. And I learned how to fell trees, folks. But, and I hated every one of them because I wanted to keep every one of them. I love trees. But as those trees would fall, and particularly doing it late in the autumn and into winter before the heavy snow came, as those trees would hit the ground would shudder under my feet. There's something solid about a tree. And so notice here, the guy or the gal who gets out of the world and gets into the Word day and night, beginning the day and ending the day as a minimum, he shall be like a tree, not like a dandelion, not like a scrub bush, but a tree. And notice it says planted. That implies stability, being rooted, not a tumbleweed. And having been in the ministry for 50 years, I've watched a lot of Christians that are more like tumbleweeds than trees. And blown not only by winds of doctrine, but just blown by whatever is going on in life, distractions in life. We drove across North Dakota a couple years ago, in the early spring, and the tumbleweeds are blowing across the road so much we almost had to slow down and stop. We have snowstorms, they have tumbleweed storms out there. But like a tree planted, notice, by a river of water. If you come up to North Star Baptist Church, well, it used to be, I'll give you some history because it's not anymore, but there used to be a tree growing out in front. And there is a creek flowing in front of the property there. The DNR says it's a trout stream. In over 30 years, I never saw one fish in that stream. And I don't have the time today to tell you the story, but I mean, that trout stream cost the church about $80,000 this last year in replacing the culvert and all the hoops the church had to jump through. But anyway, when we bought our land there in Duluth Heights and cut down the trees, and like I say, it was mostly birch trees, 6 acres of them, I learned to my dismay that those trees were dying, or some of them were dying. And I talked to the DNR, and I said, what's going on? He said, well, in that neighborhood there, those birch trees probably sprang up after the forest fire of 1918. And birch trees will often be a second generation growth after a forest fire in this part of the world. And he said, many of those trees just are dying of old age. He said, furthermore, there's been a birch blight disease going through the Northland in recent years, and they're taking trees. And on top of that, the last year or two has been a drought, which when trees are already weakened, they'll die. And so I thought, it'd be nice to have spruce trees sticking up all through those birch trees. And you see that out in the wild. And so the DNR in the spring, we had a sale where they were selling little seedling spruce trees. I'm just a little scratchy here. Time out. And I bought 400 little, about 6-inch seedling spruce trees for a nominal fee, and planted them. They suggested a tool, and I planted them all around our woods. And in my zeal to get those spruce trees to grow, that next spring or whatever, I went and got fertilizer, and I fertilized all those trees, and I killed about half of them. Wrong kind of fertilizer, or too much fertilizer, I don't know what, but I killed them. And I monkeyed around for several more years and killed a bunch more of them. And finally, I figured out a way in the right procedure and the right product to make them grow. And some of those trees today are 50 and 60 feet tall, but there's only about 75 of them left. But they're big trees now. But I invested a lot of time and a lot of money, relatively speaking, in getting those trees to grow. You go down to the church, and there's the creek in front of the church, and there's a spruce tree growing up beside the driveway, and it's 50 or 60 feet, and it only took about 8 years to happen. I didn't plant it. I didn't fertilize it. I didn't weed it. I didn't do anything to it. Why did that tree grow so rapidly? It was planted by a river of water. And his law doth he meditate day and night, folks. He shall be like a tree planted by a river of water. But notice, continuing here, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, being fruitful. Fruitful in the Christian life. The external fruit of winning others to Christ. The internal fruit of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruitfulness. Get out of the world and get into the Word day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of the water. But then notice it says, whose leaf... His leaf also shall not wither. Well, on the front of our house there's a deck, and I have a chair out there in the summer, and I'll sometimes sit out there in the evening and just meditate and look at our property and our woods and so forth. But I've noticed that when some, particularly aspen trees or poplars, they call them popples up in that part of the world, they're a variety of aspen tree. And when the popple trees, the very top, the leaves die, that tree's a goner. By a year or two later, that tree will be dead. His leaf also shall not wither. Now, I'm not implying you can lose your salvation, but I'm implying, folks, you don't get into the Word. You keep one foot in the world and don't get in the Word, and your leaf is going to wither. And you will more than likely fizzle in your Christian walk, in your Christian life. But then notice the last promise here. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, that is not from one of the books of Sorensen. That's from the Word of God. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God said to Joshua, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Now, there's not a person in this room today that does not want to be prosperous and successful. Doesn't say you're going to be a millionaire or a billionaire or famous, but he said you will succeed. Now, you say, well, that's for preachers and missionaries. Yes. But folks, it says, whatsoever he doeth, maybe you have a business or your marriage, your home. Whatsoever he doeth, your ministry, Sunday school teacher, whatever. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I can stand here today after 50 years in the ministry and tell you that whatever prospering I have seen in my life goes back to the fact that I have followed this simple recipe for the last 45 years or so. Spending time in the Word. In fact, I do it each morning, each noon, and each night. Maybe you don't have the ability to do that with your position and your work. I'm not saying you ought to do that. But what I'm saying is I have tried to follow this principle now for close to 50 years of getting away from the world and spending time in the Word, literally day and night. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What a promise. Notice verse 4, and we're going to go fast now. Stubble. Key word, stubble. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Chaff is the byproduct of the harvest. Much of my growing up was in central Illinois, and down there they call it the prairie state. You get up out of the Illinois River Valley, and it's just flat farm country. And there are two basic crops. One is corn, field corn, and the other crop is soybeans. And they plant corn one year, the farmers, and then they plant the next year with soybeans because the soybeans put back into the soil what the corn took out. But in going across Illinois during harvest country, you see the harvest machines and the field is white into harvest. And out the back of the machine comes a dusty byproduct. It's chaff. And it's basically not good for anything other than maybe just some slight value in fertilizing, but not very much. And wherever the wind is blowing, the chaff blows. Now, you come up to Duluth Superior, and you go down the hill there into Duluth, and you come to the interchange with I-535 that goes into Wisconsin, and you drive over what the locals call the High Bridge. It's called the Blatnik Bridge into Wisconsin. And off to the right there are large grain elevators, and virtually almost all the ships that come in those elevators are international ships, foreign ships. We call them salties up north. Saltwater ships, and you can see the ships being loaded where out of the elevators are these chutes coming down, and it's gravity fed. And as the grain goes down into the holds of those ships, the dust is coming up. That's the chaff. And whichever way the wind is blowing that day is that's where the chaff goes. Now, we read here, the ungodly are not so. And what the psalmist is saying is they don't have that solidness and that strength and that stability, and that blessing, and that prospering in their lives. And they bounce from here to there and from pillar to post. We went to my 50th high school reunion here. Actually, it's been 5 years ago. And went to a large public high school a long time ago in Illinois there, and I hadn't been to any reunion, but I decided I'd go to the 50th. And I met people that I went to school with 50 years ago, 55 years ago, and hearing about their divorces and hearing about their broken homes and hearing about all the mess in their life. Folks, the ungodly are not so. That is, they don't have the strength and the blessing that you as God's people have the potential to have if you follow the plan, the program here in God's Word. Stubble. And then notice verse 5. two words, not stand or stand not. Notice verse 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The idea is when they someday stand before the bar of God's judgment, they will not prevail. They'll not stand. They'll hear him say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The world doesn't like to hear that today, but folks, that's the truth. They'll not stand. Cast into the lake of fire. How sad, how tragic. And I could tell you stories here, but for time's sake, I won't, of people that I've tried to witness to over the years, and they weren't interested. And they're not going to stand when that day comes. Finally, notice number 6, summary. The psalmist summarizes what he said. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's get out of the world, and let's get in the Word. So simple. But I believe if there's a great weakness, and I only know a handful of people in this congregation, but in a congregation this size, I'll tell you what, there are people who are not in the Word on a regular basis. Let's make a decision to have a stronger relationship to the Word of God. Let's make a decision to not only go to the Word periodically, but let's go there every day, yea, day and night. And find God's strengthening in our lives. Get out of the world and get into the Word. You can take that home with you today. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If the pianist will come to the piano. It's been a message for Christian people here this morning. But maybe you're visiting here today, or maybe you come somewhat regularly, but you've never really received Christ as your personal Savior. And you don't know the prospering and the stability and the strength of life which I've talked about today, much less knowing for sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die. And you say, Pastor, I would like to know that I have eternal life. I'd like to know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. You can take care of that here today. With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, you can pray something like this where you're at right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Please save me. And I'll receive you. Now, just repeating those words doesn't mean a thing. But if such a simple prayer comes from a heart of sincerity, Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can silently, right now, ask the Lord to save you by praying something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Please save me. I now receive you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking about, is there someone in this room who just a moment ago prayed and asked Christ to save you? Would you slip your hand up high enough that I can see it? Across this room. But then, Christian here today, why don't you make a decision this morning to have a stronger relationship in the Word of God, to spend more time in the Word of God? God will bless you for it. Brother Clear.
As the instruments begin to play, maybe God has spoken to your heart this morning.